Genesis chapter 41. I want to continue tonight talking about Joseph. I don't know if you've heard the name before, but Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington. He was born in 1856. He died in 1915. But he was a black American who was born a slave. He was born a slave in the state of Virginia. But after the Civil War, he began a journey. He got his freedom after the Civil War. And so after that, he began a journey that led him to basically educating himself, getting an education. He eventually became known as an educator himself. He became an author. He became an advisor to two U.S. presidents. He was an advisor to Theodore Roosevelt and to Howard Taft. So here's a man who was he was born a slave, but then he got over that, and he made something of himself really great. And there's two quotes that are attributed to him, and I thought they certainly fit in with what we're going to see tonight. First of all, and I put these in your notes, first of all, he said, "Character, not circumstances, makes the man." That's true. It's character. Not your circumstances. Some people will never make anything of themselves because they're too busy whining about all of the problems they've had. It's not the circumstances, it's the character that makes the man. He also said this. He said, "Success is to be measured not so much by the position one has reached in life as by the obstacles which he has overcome." Two great quotes there. Two very good quotes. And certainly these two quotes are quotes that could be applied to the hero of our study. Certainly both of these could be applied to Joseph. You remember in the two dreams that Joseph had as a 16-year-old boy, the Lord God had revealed to him that he's going to be promoted. He's going to be exalted to a place of authority. He's going to be exalted to a place of power, to the extent that even his own family is going to come and bow down before him. That's going to be the kind of position that he's going to have. But you remember, as we saw last time, instead of being promoted, instead of being honored, when Joseph was only 17 years old, his brothers sold him into slavery. They sold him into slavery, and that was the beginning of 13 years, you remember we saw. That was the beginning of 13 years that were filled with all kinds of painful disappointments. 13 years of what we could say really bad circumstances. He was falsely accused. He was unjustly imprisoned. He was sadly forgotten. All of those things transpired. And yet the truth of the matter is, the Lord God had not forgotten His promise to Joseph. The Lord God had not forgotten His promise to Joseph. Remember this passage of Scripture. Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be," God said. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." In other words, it simply means this: whatever God says, you can count on it. Now, it may not happen the way you think it ought to happen, and it certainly may not happen in the time frame that you think it ought to happen, but what God says, that's exactly what God's going to do. It's exactly what God is going to do. And so the day came when Joseph, in God's way, And according to God's perfect timing, there came the day when Joseph was brought out of the prison house, and he's escorted to the Pharaoh's house. Escorted to the Pharaoh's house. Remember, we saw last time how he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. You remember there were the dreams of the cows and the dreams of the corn that he had. And of course, Joseph interpreted that what it meant was there was going to be 7 years of great plenty. And that those 7 years of plenty were going to be followed by 7 years of great famine. And then he advised Pharaoh, you remember. He advised Pharaoh to collect 1/5 of all of the harvest. During those years of plenty, he said, collect 1/5 of all the harvest, put it in store, and then when the famine comes, there'll be food. You'll be able to feed the people in the land. And so in verse number 37, here in Genesis chapter 41, verse number 37, the Bible says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. In other words, when Joseph interprets the dream, and then based on that interpretation, he says, now Pharaoh, here's what I suggest, here's what you need to do. And Pharaoh said, well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And all of his servants said, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And so that brings us to the beginning now of what we might call Joseph's life as a statesman. His life as a statesman. In other words, we're going to see him now. He's going to begin moving up into the position that God had promised to him many, many years before. So let's begin number one. Notice the promotion of Joseph. The promotion of Joseph. You remember the magicians and the wise men in Pharaoh's court had totally failed to interpret Pharaoh's dream. We saw that back in verse number 8. But Joseph had interpreted the meaning of the dream. He gave wise counsel what should be done because of these dreams and the message that they told. And so therefore in verse number 38 and following, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be. Thou shalt be. And now we're going to find that Joseph is promoted to rule over two things. First of all, he's promoted to rule over Pharaoh's house. He's promoted to rule over Pharaoh's house. Verse number 40, he said, thou shalt be over my house. You're going to be over my house. By the way, that's the same position. That's the same position that Joseph has held for the past 13 years, right? Same position he's had for the past 13 years. That was the position he had first in Potiphar's house. Then it's the same position he had in the prison house. And now he comes to Pharaoh's house. And again, Pharaoh says, you're over the whole house. You're over the whole house. And so the promotion. He's promoted over Pharaoh's house, letter B. He's also promoted over Pharaoh's kingdom. He's promoted over Pharaoh's kingdom. In verse number 40, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Wow. According to your word, all of my people shall be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now, when Joseph heard those words, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I just kind of suspect that when Joseph heard those words, that his face revealed his surprise. Like, you know? How do you write that in words, you know? It's kind of hard to write, isn't it? Even though he never doubted God's promise. He never doubted God's promise to him concerning the place of honor and the place of authority. Joseph never imagined that it would be such a high place. Number two in all the land of Egypt? Certainly he never imagined that it would be such a position as that. And so therefore, seeing the look on Joseph's face and thinking perhaps it was a look of startled surprise, it makes sense then when Pharaoh says in the very next verse, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See?" In other words, let me explain this to you. You look so shocked like you can't believe it. Let me make it very clear to you so you'll know what I'm talking about here. I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. I put you over the whole land. Promotion over the kingdom. Now for a man who's about to step into such a high and exalted position, there are some things that are necessary. For a person to step into that position, there's some things that he's going to need. There's some things he's going to need. And so I want us to notice number two, the supplying of Joseph. The supplying of Joseph. Pharaoh's going to give Joseph some things that will help him to fulfill the duty that is being entrusted to him. And so we find, first of all, that there was a ring. There was a ring. And in verse number 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. Now the ring was the symbol of authority. And when Pharaoh took his ring off and gave it to Joseph, he was giving to him the authority of a statesman. He was giving to him the authority of a statesman. One commentator said it this way. He said, "This ring was Pharaoh's signet ring, which when imprinted in wax upon a document, made that document the decree of the king and therefore the law of the land." When he gave his ring to Joseph, it simply meant whatever Joseph wrote and sealed with that ring, it was the same as if the Pharaoh himself said it and wrote it and decreed it. The very same. So in giving to Joseph the ring, Pharaoh gave to him the power of lawmaking. The power of lawmaking. And that was certainly a power that he would need in order to carry out the duties that were being entrusted to him. So in order to fulfill the duties and responsibilities that Pharaoh has given, first of all, he gives him the ring, the authority of the statesman. Letter B. He also find that there was a wardrobe. There was a wardrobe. In other words, there was the apparel of a statesman. The apparel of a statesman. Now, if you remember when Joseph was called out of the prison to go and stand before Pharaoh, do you remember that back in verse number 14? When Joseph was called out of the prison to go and stand before Pharaoh, the Bible says he did two things. First of all, it says he shaved his face. It's not good to go stand before the king looking scruffy, okay? It's nice to be cleanly shaved. And not only did he shave his face, he changed his clothes. It's not real cool to go stand before the king wearing a prison uniform. You know, that's not good etiquette. And so he shaved his face, he changed his clothes. In other words, Joseph groomed himself and dressed himself in a way that would be appropriate for meeting with the Pharaoh. But the attire that was appropriate for the meeting with the Pharaoh would not be appropriate for one who was representing the Pharaoh. There's a big difference there. The attire that was suitable for a prisoner to change into in order to stand before Pharaoh would not be suitable for one who was actually representing the Pharaoh as his number two man. And so therefore in verse number 42, the Bible says that Pharaoh arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. That word vestures implies the whole wardrobe. Not just the outer garment, the inner garment. I mean everything. From the skin out, he was clothed as a representative of the Pharaoh ought to be clothed. By the way, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, let me just say that the dress and the fashions of this world are most generally not appropriate for the position that we have. Is that plain enough? Is that plain enough? We would never expect a football player. Can you imagine Manchester United? Are they any good, Manchester United? Okay. Liverpool. I never like liver on anything. So, but anyway, we're going to say Manchester. Let's just suppose Manchester United comes out on the field and they're going to play Liverpool. And let's just suppose that when Manchester United comes out on the field, all of them are dressed in full combat gear like a soldier. Well, now that would be rather ridiculous, wouldn't it? That would be rather ridiculous. But wait a minute. Let's go on the other side. Let's suppose here's a squadron of soldiers being shipped off to war, and they're wearing Manchester United uniforms. That's kind of ridiculous too, isn't it? That's kind of ridiculous too. Why? Why? Because it's simply not appropriate. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not appropriate. Just not appropriate. And in the very same way as ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that's what the Bible says that you and I are. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and as such, we ought to dress appropriately to the position that we hold. We ought to dress appropriately. Letter C. Not only was there a wardrobe, letter C, there was also a chain. A chain. This is the nobility of the statesman. The nobility of the statesman. There's a chain. Verse number 42. Pharaoh, the Bible says, put a gold chain around his neck. Now, while the ring gave Joseph the authority of a statesman, the chain was an easily seen and it was an easily recognizable symbol of authority. In other words, when Joseph from a distance, when people saw him, they may not see the ring. Ring wasn't all that big, but they would see that gold chain. And even from a distance, they would be able to know. They would be able to know. They would be able to recognize his authority. In other words, as one writer said, it's this chain, talking about the chain, he said this would do the same thing that bars, stars and stripes and chevrons do on a military uniform. You, from far away, you can see a soldier, and by just what's on his arm, you know what he is. You know where he is in the rank. You know what kind of authority he has. And that's what that gold chain did for Joseph. Letter D. Letter D. There was also a limo. Now you think I'm kidding? I'm serious. There was a limo. This is the symbol of a statesman. The symbol of, I've seen on the news and I've seen in movies, and I'm sure you have too, how that when the President of the United States, for example, is moving from one place to another, there'll always be a procession of motorcycle policemen, you know, that are leading the way. And then behind those motorcycle policemen, then there's this big black limousine. They call it, literally, I'm not joking, they call it the Beast. And the license plate is 666. No, I'm just kidding. No, but they call it the beast because it's so heavy, because of the armor plating and all of that that's in it. And so they call it the beast. It's this huge black limousine. And on the limousine, you will find that there are two flags up on the front. There's two flags. First of all, there's the national flag. That's on the right front fender. On the left front fender, there is the presidential flag. So you know the rank, and you know who he represents. And that's right on the front of the limousine. It's right on the front of the limousine. And so the police will come, they'll clear the streets, and when the limousine goes by carrying the national flag, the presidential flag, then everyone knows the President of the United States is on the inside. They know that. And really, that's nothing new. That's really nothing new. Notice the limousine Pharaoh gave to Joseph. In verse number 43, he made him to ride in the second chariot. I think that would be called Air Force Two. Now, made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. In other words, everywhere Joseph went, he would get into this special chariot, made the number two chariot in all of Egypt, made especially for the Pharaoh. That was his chariot now. And he would get into, and chariot number one was for the Pharaoh, chariot number two, that's for Joseph. And as he would ride through, the forerunners would go, bow the knee, and everybody on the side of the road would bow down because royalty is going by. Royalty is going by. There was a limo. Letter E, there was a reputation. There's a reputation. This is the force of a statesman. The force of a statesman. In verse number 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh, like every politician, wanted to be sure that his new second in command, number two guy, Pharaoh's politician, he wants to make sure that his number two man has a good reputation. He wants to make sure that his number two man is not going to be someone who will bring embarrassment to his administration or embarrassment to his kingdom. And so he wants someone who is going to have a good reputation. But this presented a problem because of two things. First of all, Joseph is a foreigner. And secondly, he's got a prison record. Not a real plus in your resume. Not a real plus in your resume. And so there are two things were done to raise the reputation of Joseph. First of all, there was a new name. There was a new name. When Ginger and I graduated from Bible college, I became associate under Homer Furr. And the church where we were working in was, they were in a terrible mess. The former pastor had started a huge building program. And then got everything started, and then they ran out of money. And fortunately for him, God called him to leave it and go somewhere else. And so he goes off, leaves this church here. They've got $250,000 debt and an unfinished building. That was the situation they were in. Even though we never found any evidence that the preacher did anything wrong, no evidence he did anything wrong. After all, stupidity is not a crime. Okay? No evidence he did anything wrong, but here was the problem. Every time we go out on visitation, we knock on a door. Hey, we're from Midway Baptist Church. Oh, yeah. This is what people would say. Oh, yeah, that's the church where that preacher stole all that money. How are you going to invite them to church? How are you even going to tell them about Christ when you have that kind of a testimony, that kind of a reputation, see? And so one of the things Brother Furr did, one of the things that he did to rebuild the reputation of the church was, first of all, we changed the name of the church from Midway Baptist to Temple Baptist, and he put a big sign right out in front of the unfinished church building, and he put a big sign up there, Temple Baptist Church, under new management. We never had any more problem. Never had any more problem. By the way, that's what Pharaoh did for Joseph. That's what Pharaoh did for Joseph. Look at verse number 45. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name George. Zaphnath-Paaneah is the new name. Zaphnath-Paaneah. Now, there are many different meanings that have been given for this name that Pharaoh gave to Joseph. There's different meanings that have been given. For example, in the Jewish encyclopedia, it is said that this name simply means the man to whom mysteries are revealed. There's another definition also in the Jewish encyclopedia. It's the one who reveals mysteries. Kind of the same thing, a little bit different. In the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the name is identified or defined. Excuse me. The name is identified or defined as the one who furnishes the nourishment of life. In other words, he is the chief steward of the realm. That's kind of the idea that goes with the name. Either way, whichever of the meanings is actually true, this name was certainly a name that was designed to build the reputation of Joseph. It's a name designed to build his reputation. And then on top of that, not only would the Egyptians look on him with favor, with trust, because of this name that he now has, but we find that he was also given, number two, there was a new wife. There's a new wife. Verse number 45, and Pharaoh gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Now, to the Egyptian mind, this union, in the Egyptian thinking, this union would most certainly raise Joseph's reputation. Because you see, as one who was in touch with the God of heaven, he's in touch with the God of heaven who can reveal dreams. It's only fitting then that he should have as his wife this lady called Asenath. Her name simply meant belongs to Nath. And of course, Nath is the goddess of wisdom in the Egyptian pantheon of gods. And so for this man who is able to reveal dreams, it's only fitting he has a wife who is belonging to the goddess of wisdom. Potiphar, his father-in-law, he has an interesting name. His name means that he whom Ra has given. Of course, Ra is the Egyptian sun god who is believed to have created all things. And so this union, this marriage, the new name, new wife, all of it is designed by Pharaoh to raise Joseph's reputation so that he might be the effective leader Pharaoh wanted him to be. Now, number three, the preparations of Joseph. The preparations of Joseph. Verse number 45. Bible says, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. He knows what needs to be done. And so therefore Joseph went out to get what we might call to get the lay of the land. He goes out to recce things. He wants to go see what's what. Wants to go see what's where. And so he goes out through all the land so that he might accomplish the task that the Lord God had in store for him. And I believe that as Joseph prepared for the years of famine, I'm sure during those 7 years, as he saw the harvest being reaped, he saw the collection being made, he saw the storage bins being filled up with food, I'm sure that he was constantly remembering the dream back in Genesis 37 and verse 7 when he said, "We were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave." I'm sure he remembered that. He remembered that. And Joseph began to understand that all of the things that had happened in his life, all of the things that had happened in his life, were not just to bring him to a place of power and honor. But all of those things, God allowed it to happen so that Joseph might be used of God to save the lives of his own family back in Canaan. It's all starting to make sense now. Isn't it amazing how we can look back and we have 20/20 vision? You know, we look back and we say, Oh yeah, I've got. But when you're on the other side looking forward, you don't, all the twists and the turns in life, we can't see how it's all going to work out. We can't see where it's all going to go. But as Joseph now is on the other side looking back, he can see perfectly how step by step by step by step, from situation to situation to situation, God perfectly led him exactly to the place where he needed to be. In other words, when God is working in our life, this may surprise you, but when God is working in your life, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. Certainly, He has a work in our lives that is designed to purify us, to perfect us. But many times the works that God is doing in our life is to prepare us, to equip us, so we can serve others. And that's exactly where Joseph is right now. That's exactly where all of the twists and the turns that we've seen in his life, it's all now come to this place. Now he's in the position. Not only is he going to serve the Egyptians, but he's going to serve his own people back in the land of Canaan. And we're going to see that as we go through in the weeks ahead. I hope you'll be encouraged tonight. When you see God leading your life and you don't understand where it's all going, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. God's way is always the right way. And God's promises will always be fulfilled. And He will bring you to that place where you need to be, so that you can do what He desires for you to do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word.